The first tale is entitled The Bridge. And he says, I was born in the upper story of a small house in North Queensferry, practically in the shadow of the Forth Bridge. The year was 1889, and the great new bridge was in the finishing stages of construction, almost ready for its official opening ceremony the following year. For me, the ferry was the hub of the universe. The grey waters of the Firth of Forth formed a natural boundary to the south, while the towering bridge that bestrode our narrow world like a colossus marked the vertical limit of our little kingdom. Hailed as one of the man-made wonders of the world, the Forth Bridge is an impressive cantilever construction of steel and granite, about 1.5 miles in length, spanning the Firth of Forth, its central pier resting upon Inchgarvie, a tiny rocky island, without which the daring engineering project could not have been realised at all. At the ferry, the bridge dominated the scene, not just visually, but economically as well, since it provided a living for many of the men whose families lived in its shade. Once completed, it required the constant attention of a small army of painters, riveters, and maintenance and railway workers to keep it in top condition for the safe passage of the trains crossing it, en route for Aberdeen and the Highlands in the north, Edinburgh and England in the south. My own father, Robert Douglas, was the very first carpenter on the Forth Bridge, and I, the fourth of his 8 children, was the first member of the family to be born at the ferry. Like other ferry families whose fathers were employed on the bridge, we took considerable pride in the connection, looking on the handsome structure with an affectionate, not to say proprietorial, eye. The bridge was ours. We felt as if the quality of our lives was enhanced by the association, and maybe it was. And since I had the distinction of being the first of the Douglases to have been born with the Forth Bridge on his doorstep, so to speak, I could hardly be blamed for feeling that my own claim upon it was extra specially strong. Let's face it, I'm hooked on that bridge. It must have cast some sort of spell upon me, a spell that endures to this day. Even now, after an absence of so many years, I feel my heart lift at the sight of its noble arches, and my pulse quickens every time I return to wander around in my old stamping ground. The ground and the terrain may have altered beyond recognition, but those mighty pillared supports, those tough girders, and those exhilarating, gravity-defying spans remain gloriously the same. Especially moving to me is the spectacle the bridge offers from the air. Seen from a plane, it presents a strange, slow, graceful ballet of new angles and fresh perspectives, managing to look at the same time completely familiar and utterly unknown. The Forth Bridge has become in our family an established legend. Even the grandchildren, and some of the great-grandchildren, regaled on ferry yarns from their infancy, have become hooked on the bridge as well. And many of them have made a pilgrimage to the ferry to view with their own eyes the locale of the legend. None of them was ever disappointed. But perhaps the best postscript to the legend was supplied by my little Baileyston niece, Jenny Russell, who appeared particularly overwhelmed on her first visit to the ferry. She gazed aloft in silent astonishment at the 1.5 miles of steel girders soaring majestically across the sky. Finally, she found her voice. She turned to her mother. "Did my grandpa," she piped up, Did my grandpa do all of that?